The following is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet for February 19th, 2020.
Calling the Tri-City TipsNet. Calling the Tri-City TipsNet for Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located at the Red Cross office in Uncasville, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary nor required for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that don't wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote a good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPS net is a directed net, a directed open net, which means that we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone is checked in. There are three sections to the TIPS net. The first and the longest is the open net with rounds of questions and comments as just described. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking to the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button like this. And listen to assure no one else has called at the same time you have. It's called doubling. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or a question. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo Tim at the Red Cross office in Uncasville, your net control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Here is Kilo 1 Romeo Mike November Bob in Montel. No questions.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf Kevin in Norwich on a different microphone tonight.
This is Whiskey 1, Julia, ask your Papa John, City of Groton. No question.
This is Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie, Tango, Dave, and Preston. No questions yet, but something could be stirred up.
KA6PDG, I neglected to say I do have something to stir up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so far we have Bob, K1RMN, Kevin, KA6PDG, with something stirring in the pot there, John, W1JOP, John, I hope you're feeling better, and Dave, K1DCT. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, no further recognizes Steve and K1V. Any further check-ins, please call now.
This is... Whiskey 1, Oscar Sierra, Dave in Plainfield.
Okay, Ned recognizes Dave, W1OS. Dave, just to verify, I wrote this down right, that's Plainfield?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, very good. I have one item, which I will save for a little bit later. It's a very small item. Let's go directly to Kevin. He has something he wishes to stir up, and I'm curious what that is. K6PDG, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
All righty, Tim. Well, thank you. Good evening to the net. I'm not sure that my item is worthy of being first up on the net, but we'll see. If people enjoy it, fine. If not, we'll find something else to talk about first real quickly. As I said, I'm using a different mic. I so much adored the foot switch that Bob gave me that I went out and got another one for my 2-meter rig. And so if anybody has any comments about how I sound compared to previous times that you've heard me on this repeater, so far the reports I've gotten have been good. What do I want to stir up on the TipsNet tonight? Well, as you know, Tim, from the traffic net last night, let me reset. N1PTB Randy up in Bath, New York, is going to be in town this weekend and planning to come to the breakfast at the Uncasville Diner. Randy's an old friend of mine, and so I got thinking about reminiscing as I thought about Randy, and then I thought, well, you know, reminiscing about radio is fun too. We have had some conversations on this net about old transceivers and old receivers and that kind of thing. I wondered if it might be interesting to reminisce about radio. Now, for the newer folks, maybe you've only been a ham a year or two and you don't have a lot of ham radio stuff to reminisce about, but maybe there's a reminiscence of something from your CB days or shortwave listening days or when you were listening to a scanner or even something you heard on the commercial radio, something that would be a reminiscence or a funny story. I'll offer a quick one and then I'll shut up for this round, but just to get us started. I could pick one of hundreds of things, I'm sure, but I'm going to pick out of the air the time that the Race On Club sponsored a trip to the Ledge Lighthouse in New London as part of Lighthouses on the Air. And this was a good number of years ago, and I'm struggling to remember what year it was. I have a feeling it was back around 2002 or 3 or 4, something like that. And a few of us were out there for a couple of days. It was very successful, a lot of fun. I can think of one ham. I think he was a WA4VWV. His name was Steve. He's now a silent key. I think N1MIRK KE1IU might have been out there, and I'm trying to remember who else, but it was a lot of fun. So that's a reminiscence. KA6PDG, back to that.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I think that is an interesting subject, and I think we will proceed with that, seeing as we don't have any other questions on the floor. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hop up to Bob, and then from there I'm going to jump down to John and further down the list. And then next round we'll do everybody in proper order. But, Kevin, you had something to say, so we kind of squeezed you in up at the top real quick. My story on that is that I got my license about 6 years ago, and I went to either the Tri-City or the Raceon auction, and I picked up a 2-meter mobile rig, and I was all tickled pink about it. I got it for what I thought was a fantastic price, and in reality it was. But after I played with it, I realized that it was an older model that did not do PL tones, and consequently still had to get another radio. So live and learn, and it wasn't false advertising or anything else. It's just know what you're buying and know what things are capable of. So no bad feelings or anything else. I got what I paid for, so it taught me a lesson there. That was a good thing to learn. But we'll move on to Bob and see what he has for thoughts about any reminiscing about radios. K1RMN, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR in the group. This is K1RMN. I'm going to go back to 1960, 1961, traveling around the country with the family and the old Pontiac that we had. And Dad had his radio in there. And the transceiver was up front underneath the dash because they were huge back then. And the amplifier was in the back. And he had the big whip antenna. And my job, when we were out there, was to keep my foot on the gas when he was transmitting to keep the battery and the alternator going so that the amplifier wouldn't kill everything. And I always thought that was pretty cool that I got to sit in the driver's seat and keep my foot there and do that when he was trying to make contacts. So that's my reminiscing back that far, because I've only had my license since 17, so most of my rigs aren't that very old. K1RMN, back to net.
Well, thank you, Bob. That's a good story. I like that. My first exposure to any amateur radio of any kind was CB radio that my grandparents used to have between a Karmann Ghia and the Olds 88 pulling the Airstream. And I can't remember the year, but I was very young, and this was back when you had to pay money to get a CB license. But anyhow, I like your story better. And we'll go on to John, W1JOP, and see if he has any reminiscing to do about radios. W1JOP, KC1TWR.
First of all, I am feeling a little better. Thank you, Tim. This is W1JOP. Actually, I can blame the horizontal engineers for getting me into the hobby of amateur radio. I stumbled across the horizontal engineers on the scanner probably in about 95. That's when NQLF, WA4QXT, and others were around. And I listened to that for a couple of years, learned a lot, actually, and went to take my test up at the ARRL just because I didn't know my way around the other clubs at the time, obviously. And that's actually where I took and passed my amateur radio exam up there. And a few days later, I was licensed. I was given the hideous call sign, which are really not repeat. So then I switched it over to W1JOP pretty quick. Anyway, back to that. This is W1JOP.
Very good. Thank you, John. And for those listening, just as a reminder, the Horizontal Engineers still meets on the Groton Repeater, 146.67, down in Groton, in the town of Groton, near Fitch High School. And they're on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays at 7 p.m. Okay, let's move on to Dave, K1DCT. You've been around amateur radios for a year or two. What reminiscing might you have? This is KC1TWR Net Control.
All right, well, thanks to all those that are here this evening, and for Kevin for stirring up something. We know he's all good at that. Yeah, I've been around a little bit. In fact, when the subject came up, I went and looked at my original novice license, and next month, it'll be 42 years, so I've kicked around this hobby a bit. So I'll try not to bore everyone for too long with too many reminiscences. Of course, the old days, when you got licensed, there was CW, and I had a nice little Heath kit, or as many called it, grief kit, radio that did 80, 40, and 15 meters. CW only. So I had a blast with that rig. I worked France with a dipole in the attic at my parents' house. It was a lot of fun. I really learned to fall in love with the CW portion. So, and just as a little piece of trivia, I know it's not trivia night, but the CB band was actually pulled from the amateur radio spectrum. Some of the early Yaesu FT-101s and so forth have the CB band in there, and you can run 100 watts with the radio. Not legal, but at the time it would have been, before that band was stolen from the ham radio band. But what I really miss, and I didn't start shortwave listening until after I was a ham, I really miss the old shortwave stations. The BBC, it's still out there, but it's hard to find. They used to beam stuff towards America. Let me break for a second. They had a lot of shows that, and even when they were beaming to Africa, I could always pick them up. And of course, the Voice of America, so you got one side, and then you could listen to Radio Moscow and get, well, we'll call it the other side. And then you listen to the BBC and you kind of get like right down the middle. Well, pretty much like it is today on regular TV broadcast. So, I really do miss the shortwave stuff and just the early days. So, so many memories. I could go on for so long that the net would be over and people would wish that I would shut up. So, I will do that now. Back to net, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave, for a very interesting commentary and history. I'm going to have to go back and see when the CB band actually did break off of amateur radio and see if that might have been before or after the time that I remember my grandparents using it. Okay, and before I forget, Kevin, your mic does sound different. I won't say it's better, I won't say it's worse, I'll just say it's different, but perfectly readable, perfectly understandable. Okay, before I get to Steve and Dave, because it's been a good 10 or 15 minutes, I'd like to do a quick call-out for anybody else that would like to join the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Please call now.
Here is KC1KLW, Jerry and Preston, no questions.
Net recognizes Jerry, KC1KLW. Any further check-ins? Okay, Jerry, I've added you to the bottom of the list. You'll be after Steve and Dave, and we'll go to Steve next. And I guess the topic currently is reminiscing about radios and see what reminiscing you may have. This is KC1TWR Net Control to NK1V.
About reminiscing about radios, I guess I've got to talk about the old RCA radios that had like half a mile of wire round up in the rear that were shortwave receivers, and I could pick up foreign radio stations and in different languages. Didn't understand many of them, or any of them other than the English and the Spanish radio stations, but that was fun at a time. You know, I was a kid, and big radio was bright lights and big speakers. All right, Jerry, back to net. KC1KOW, back to net.
So I have one thing led to another, and here we are. But that being said, 35-something years ago, I remember I was big in the CB, like my father was big in the CB radio when it all came out, and the handles and all that stuff, and all that craziness, and the 102-inch whip on the LTD wagon with the wood sides, and that whole thing. And he had a setup at the house, a base station, and then when I got older, I kind of inherited that. Let me reset.
Thank you, Steve, and I apologize, but you were actually doubling with Jerry there for a little bit. Jerry, just to remind you, we're going to go through Steve, then Dave, and then we'll get to you, so whatever you were talking about, please be prepared again in just a minute. Very interesting, Steve, and you know, now you're much more educated, knowledgeable about all the rules and regulations and all that, and doing a commendable job from everything I've seen. Okay, let's move on to Dave. Dave, greetings to the TipsNet. Welcome aboard. Right now we're discussing reminiscing about radios, but the floor is always open for anybody that has any questions as long as they're amateur radio related. So over to you, Dave, KW1OS from KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, W1OS, good evening, Tim and everybody else. This is my first time checking into the TipsNet. Reminiscing about old radio equipment, well, that would kind of go hand in hand with a little background. I just recently got back into amateur radio. I was licensed, I think I got my novice license back in 76. Can't recall the exact year, but it was sometime around there. And ended up getting my general, and then when I got in high school, I kind of got out of the amateur radio, and now that I'm approaching retirement age, I kind of start thinking about getting back into amateur radio, because I think it would be something good to do in my retirement years. So what kind of sped that up was a recent shoulder surgery, so I've kind of been out of commission here for a couple of months, so I got a 2-meter radio set up. I'm still working on HF. Let me reset.
W1OS. Yeah, back in the 70s when I got my novice license, I had a Heathkit DX60, the matching HR10 receiver with the external VFO. Back then, when you got your novice, you were strictly limited to Morse code, so I got pretty proficient at it as a young kid. And I used to like to get up early morning, 1, 2 in the morning in the summertime, and work 80 meters CW in the novice band, hit California, stuff like Hawaii. That was actually during a sunspot peak back then, so things that was actually a good time to be in amateur radio. And then I graduated, I saved up my paper route earnings, and I graduated to a Kenwood 520S with a high gain vertical I used to run. So that's just about my reminiscing about old radios. Back to that.
Oh, very good, Dave, and welcome back to the hobby. You'll find that since you first got your license, a lot has changed. A lot of it's still the same. There's still a lot of CW work going on, and a lot has changed. As a matter of fact, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club on the second Tuesday of March is going to have a presentation from Mark, KE1IU, on using amateur radio satellites, bouncing signals off of those with your 2-meter 440 HT. So that looks to be very interesting. And I saw that you do have your email listed in QRZ, so I will probably end up sending you an email just to fill you in on some of the activities that are going on locally, which you may or may not be interested in. It's up to you. It's just make sure you know what the options are. But welcome back to the hobby, and that's great. At this point, we'll go ahead and move on to Jerry. And Jerry, I'm sorry that there was a miscommunication there. When you checked in, I still had two more people on the list before we got to you. So it's your turn again. KC1KLW, this is KC1TWR.
KC1KLW. Oh, no problems, Tim. The error is on my side. I was doing multitasking, and I probably misunderstood something you said there. Anyhow, my story about old technology was just listening to shortwave as a kid on the old RCA shortwave radios. And that was a fun time for me, but I never really made more of it. I know that those old radios had something like, I don't know, it seemed like a mile of wires wound up in the back there as their antenna. And that was just fascinating to me, and as well as all those warm glow tubes. That was just fun. That's my recollection of the old technology. Back to net, KC1KOW.
Okay, very good. Yes, I too remember listening. My grandparents had a radio that could listen to shortwave, and I remember tooling around there listening to some foreign languages and what have you, and just finding it quite interesting. So it's amazing what you'll hear on the airwaves. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. I'm going to do a quick call out before we run back to the top again. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, and I realize I forgot to say Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, but that's okay. Technical information, public service, at your service. Okay, we're going to go around to the top, and Kevin and Bob, as I said before, we're going to do the second round following the list correctly. So, Bob, you were the first to check in, K1RMN. What are your thoughts about you already gave us some thoughts about reminiscing. Anything else? Before we start, I should say that on the TipsNet, I did bring up a question, and I forgot the paper at home, but I do remember part of the information. When was the first D-cell battery offered for the public? When was it first produced and put out there for the public to use? Can you guess the year? That's my question, which I should have saved for trivia night. But anyhow, we'll go to Bob and see what he has to say. Bob, K1RMN, this is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. Well, I can't give you the date on the battery. Sounds like an interesting piece of information, probably quite a while ago, but not really too sure. I am going to have to say 73. I've got something I have to go to take care of right now down at our barn, so hope the rest of you have a great evening. This is K1 RMN. Back to Nat.
Thank you, Bob 73. Thank you for joining the TipsNet for the time you were, and say hello to the animals for us. Okay, on to Kevin, KA6BDG. Do you know roughly what year the first D-cell battery was made? And do you have any further reminiscing you'd like to do or anything else you'd like to bring to the table? KA6BDG, this is KC1TWR.
Well, I am rather intrigued based on the transmission that took place too. Transmissions ago and the sounds I heard in the background. I may be wrong, but I think Bob just got a text message from one of his horses. I am really, really impressed. Now, that's technology we gotta share on the net. Let's see. And Tim, just to rib you a little bit, I think that signal report you gave me about my microphone was probably the worst signal report I've ever gotten. But it wasn't, actually, when I think about it. But would be curious if you think it's louder, softer, bassier, treblier, clearer, more muffled. I don't know. Reminiscing, though, that's what... and I was sort of thinking, and I probably wasn't clear, not just reminiscing about technical things like radios, but about incidents and happy memories, whatever. And there's so many. I'll really quick do one that doesn't have to do with ham radio. It does have to do with radio. I was about 6 years old and barely knew what radio was. I had a transistor radio, and I knew what television was, and I used to spend a lot of time at my cousin's house down in Preston. She would babysit me, etc., etc., the poor thing. Just imagine for a moment babysitting KA6PDG. Oh, wait a minute, that's what Net Control's doing right now. Anyway, I had the idea in my head about what antennas were and what they did. Knew nothing about anything technical. And my cousin lived out in a agricultural, a lot of Preston is still agricultural, but out where there was a farm and cornfield and lots of milkweed and trees and what I'll call saplings, I guess would be the right word, very young trees that were basically weeds, but they were 2 or 3 or 4 feet tall. And so my cousin was watching television, as teenagers are wont to do, and was complaining about the signal that she was getting. Everything, of course, was antennas back in the days. So I went out next to her house and pulled up a bunch of these saplings, or seedlings, or whatever is the proper word. Each one was a couple of feet long, and they had long leaves and straggly little branches and stuff. And I tied them all together and made a 6 or 7 foot tall, quote-unquote, antenna out of them. And basically erected that next to the living room window near where the television was. Did not connect it electrically to anything. That's probably a good thing. And I was just so pleased with myself, and I went in the house and asked my cousin if the picture was better, and she said, "Oh, yes, yes, Kevy, that's excellent, much better." K6PDG, back to Nat.
Well, Kevin, nobody can fault you for not trying to help. Very helpful child, I'm sure. Anyhow, getting back to your microphone, I'll say it sounds different. Again, this is to my untrained ear and my own personal perception. It sounds a little bit more trebly than the other microphone. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'll let others decide. It's not bad. I wouldn't normally have made a comment about how you sounded at all, except you're the one that brought up the fact that you were using a different microphone. I did notice a difference in sound, but when you asked to know what we thought, I figured I would venture a comment. So we'll move on now to John, W1JOP, see if he has any further reminiscings or any guess on the D-cell battery when it was first introduced to the public. W1JOP, KC1TWR.
I'm not sure really when the first D-cell was introduced to the public. I know these days I think you can get a D-cell battery pack or a converter pack for most amateur radio HTs. That's not D-cell, excuse me, that's something else. I have nothing further, and I don't really know what the D-cell age is. Back to that, W1JOP.
Okay, no worries. That's perfectly fine, John. And again, glad you're feeling better. Okay, we'll move on to Dave. And unless he's been doing some cheating by looking in the interweb, which is perfectly fine, we didn't establish any ground rules. Any guesses on when the D-cell was put out there, or any further reminiscing that you care to share with us without using up all the rest of the net time? K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, thanks for putting parameters on the talk time, Tim. This is K1DCT. Let's see, Kevin's microphone. I'll give him my standard signal report, 2x2. That's too loud and too often. As far as the D-cell, probably came in about the 50s as transistors were starting to come out. Of course, a lot of those early transistors took a lot of power, so you needed a D-cell. And, of course, the other cell names came from early radios, because the high-power battery would be the B, and hence the name for tube. The hot side of the tube is the B+. So, there were A batteries and C batteries that were used for biasing the tube to get into its conductive state, we'll say. So that's where some of those battery designations came from. They're nothing new. You don't see B batteries around anymore, but we still have A's and C's, and then, of course, D's. So that's my guess, is about the 50s, late 50s maybe, is transistor radios, as Kevin mentioned, and many of us of that vintage had some of those, and I'll say I probably still have a few tucked away here. K1DCT, back to net.
Thank you, Dave. And just to be absolutely clear, because I think that may have given some confusion, we're talking about D-cell. D is in David, or Delta. So we'll go from there. Okay, on to Steve. And Steve, I hate I just wanted to mention that in your last transmission, it was doubled on. So we picked up about the time you said 35 years ago, or about 35 years ago. So anything before that, we would have lost. So if you can remember, you can give that to us. And if not, then it goes back to you. Any idea when the D-cell battery, D as in Delta battery, was first introduced to the public? And any further reminiscing? NK1V, this is KC1TWR.
NK1V, and I'm struggling to remember what I had for dinner tonight. I don't remember exactly what I said earlier, but I think I was just referring to the fact that I'd only had my amateur radio license for, it'll be 3 years next month, and a lot of time had passed since I had played around with CB stuff. I don't know when the D-cell came out. I'm thinking it's been out for a while, but I do remember when I was a little kid that, playing around with little projects and stuff, which I've always done, that D-cells were a really big, really big deal. And because using anything, I asked for a battery to do something, my father would give me one of those square, what they call dry cells, the 6-volt ones with the little springs on the top. That was like, they must have been inexpensive or something to get, at the hardware store or whatever, because he'd always let me have diesels or something. Boy, that was going to take some work around the yard or something to get some diesel batteries. So that being said, I was talking about one more thing about the reminiscing about CB and stuff. Let me reset. I currently, with the grandkids and so on, and with the quote-unquote camping, the family has a GMRS license, and we have the nice GMRS radios for communicating and stuff, and which are basically UHF, FM, and a little bit of power with the license and so on. And they're pretty much flawless, you know, they're around the campground and stuff like that. They have work with no issues whatsoever. I just remember when we were kids, the old walkie-talkie that we used to get when we were kids back then, you know, 30 years ago, and I believe they were Channel 14 on the CB band, and so they were AM Channel 14, and, you know, the batteries wouldn't last for nothing in them, and you could literally, if you went around to the other side of the house, you'd have trouble hearing your buddy and stuff like that. So even with toys, we've come a long way. It's just, I'm just thinking about that, running around with those now. I mean, now we buy these little ones at Walmart for a few bucks, and the kids can go all the way down the other end of the neighborhood, and you can still hear them. I'm back to Matt and K1B.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, indeed, technology has changed quite a bit. It's amazing how many things have changed. And as you said, you can now buy, you know, little walkie-talkies for the kids, and they can go roaming pretty much as far as they can walk. Okay, we'll move on to Dave, W1OS, and ask him, do you have any idea when the first D as in Delta D-cell battery was introduced to the public, produced for the public? You know, and or do you have any further stories about reminiscing about radios? W1OS, this is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, W1OS. My guess on the D-size battery, I would say before the First World War. Not sure. I think it's older than most people think, but I can't remember reading somewhere when they first came out, but I just can't recall the year. But I know I think it's a lot older than what you would think, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, and I do have some more reminiscing. When I did get my first license as a kid, I had an Elmer who lived up the street from me, and he was into slow scan television on 432 megahertz. And when I got my general license in 77, I believe, he helped me set up a slow scan television station, and was using some old Motorola equipment and some homemade camera equipment that he had constructed, and we used to send slow scan television pictures back and forth, which was pretty cool for a 13-year-old kid at the time to be doing something like that. So that's about here. I don't want to hog up too much time. KC1TWR, W1OS.
Well, thank you, Dave. And no, your comment was very short and concise. You could have used more time if you wanted. It's not a problem. As you can tell, some of the people on here do have, I won't say the gift of gab, but I will say that they do like to get a lot of information across. Okay, let's move on to Jerry, KC1KLW, see if he has a thought on when the first D-cell battery was introduced to the public. And this is KC1TWR.
Well, hi, Tim, and everyone else on the net. KC1KLW here. Yes, I have found the actual date of when the D-cell was introduced to the general public. I thought it was around World War II, or just before World War II, but actually it was 1898, according to this Wikipedia. 1898, son of a gun. Okay, so that's my story. I'm going to stick to it. No more reminiscence, because there isn't much else to reminisce about. Back to Net, KC1KLW.
And what Jerry found was correct. So prior to that, Dave, you were the closest in Dave W1OS. You were the closest to figuring out the rough date that the D-cell was introduced. And the article I got that from mentioned that something else happened in 1896, 2 years prior to that, and I believe that may have been when they were first putting plates together to form a battery, but I could be wrong in that. I'll have to go back home and find that paper and look that up again. But, let's see now. It's now about quarter of. I think we will go ahead and go to the second section of the TipsNet. We had a number of people join today, which was good, and we had a lot of good comments, and that was even more wonderful. But I think it's time to go to the next section, and before we do that, I'll take any more check-ins that are out there for the TipsNet. Please call now. Okay, we'll now start the second section of the TipsNet. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events and or items of interest? Please call now.
Okay, 6PDG.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Wanted to make sure it was mentioned, the VE test session taking place March 7th at 7 p.m. at the Red Cross Chapter House in Montville, March the 11th, K6PDG.
Okay, very good. Yes, as a matter of fact, that's why I'm here right now, is I'm kind of helping as I can with Tom, WA2RYB. He's teaching a tech class at the Red Cross headquarters here in Montville on Route 32, and that class will be taking their test on March 11th, as Kevin said, and they will have VEs here and everything else, so if anybody wants to take a test for either tech, general, or extra, that would be one time when you can do it. I would like to also mention that the Radio Amateur Society of Norwich, RASON, will be holding their monthly meeting tomorrow night at the, I believe it's the North Firehouse in Norwich, Connecticut at 7:30. Further details about that can be found at rason.org. That's RASON.org. I should also mention that the RASON Amateur Radio Club will be having an auction on April 25th at the Gales Ferry Firehouse. So people like Dave, W1OS, who may be interested in replenishing their amateur radio stock, that's always a good place to either sell or find amateur radio equipment. These auctions have been going on for a number of years and always draw a good crowd and always have some really interesting stuff. You never know what you're going to find. Let me reset. Okay, I would also like to remind everyone that there is a group of amateur radio operators that meet every Thursday morning, it's tomorrow morning, at 7 o'clock sharp when the Old Time Restaurant in Norwich opens their doors for breakfast, and there's usually anywhere from 8 to 12 people that gather there. It's a good crowd, so anybody that wants to come down and enjoy breakfast with fellow amateur radio operators, you're welcome to join. And there's also another group that meets Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock at the Uncasville Diner, which I believe used to be called It's Country Kitchen or something, on Route 32, just south of the Montville Police Station. It's called Uncasville Diner. You can find it if you go on the interweb and look there. Let's see. There's also the Aries check-ins that take place this evening. There will be one on the, I think it's the 147.225 repeater at 8:30. And on Monday nights, there's the Region 4 South that meets on the Salem repeater, the same one we're on right now. And that's at 8 o'clock p.m. Let me reset. Okay. Okay, just as an FYI for those who are listening, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is in the process of picking a field day site for the next field day event, which will be the fourth weekend in June, and all amateur radio operators are invited to stop down and have some fun either transmitting and talking to people using HF, using various rigs, or just coming down for some good companionship and some good food. Amateur Radio Club has been doing much better each year with the food they provide, so it's a good time for all. Let me open this up to anyone else that has any events or comments or questions. Please call now. Okay, we'll go into the third section of the TipsNet. Is there anyone that wishes to either swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? Please call now. Okay, I apologize. I may have cut us a little bit short. I thought that the section 2 and 3 would bring us right up to the top of the hour, but it hasn't. But we'll go ahead and close the net, although I will give one last call out. Anyone else that, or anyone that would like to add a further comment about anything we've been talking about this evening or anything else, please call now. Okay, that was the last call, and we have no further check-ins. I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and like to thank all those who stood by as we conducted the net and listened. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net, and we have our meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at number 1031 on Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. The meetings start at 7 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club can be found at the www.tricityarc.com. That's TRICITYARC.com. We would like to thank John W1AN for the use of the W1DX Salem repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, wishing everyone good evening and 73.